In the Old Testament, we have many wonderful pictures of the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one such picture we have read this evening in the sad and sorry account of the man that is known by the name of Abner. In those times in which they lived, there were six cities that were given a special place and a position in the land. Those six cities were known as the cities of refuge. And they were appointed to allow those that were guilty of manslaughter by accident, an accidental killing, to flee to them until their sentence was served. The whole background to those cities of reference is given, or refuge is given, in Numbers chapter 35 and also in Joshua chapter 20. But basically the law concerning them was that if anyone had slain another person unintentionally, an accidental manslaughter, that person could run to one of those cities, and if he reached it before those who were chasing him, he or she was safe. And as long as the one who had made use of that city stayed inside the city precincts, as long as they didn't go outside the city limit, or as long as they didn't leave the city until the high priest, under whom the transgression had taken place, had died, they were safe. And if the person did not adhere to those stipulations, then the avenger of blood that he was known by, that was his title, he could lawfully and justly put that perpetrator to death. There was a trial, of course, so no true murderer who had slain in cold blood, as it were, could escape the judgment. There were three cities on either side of the River Jordan, and their locations meant that they were easily accessible from whatever part of the land the accused would come from. Now, one of these cities went by the name of Hebron, or Hebron, whatever way you want to pronounce it, in the part of the land that was held by Judah. And it was at the gate of that city the man Abner was cruelly murdered and done to death by this other man called Joab. And in this event we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus pictured. We have the sad and terrible end of those who pay no heed to the message of the gospel and end up going out into eternity unsaved and unconverted. We have them pictured as well. Now obviously the text that I want to leave with you is in the main is the part of verse 33 of the reading which says, "Died Abner as a fool dieth." We have here, you see, a terrible end that could have been avoided. Notice with me, first of all, a friend's description. Because in the passage here, the main speaker is David the king. It's clear from the words of the beginning of verse 33, obviously there, how he lamented over Abner. And how there is much weeping over Abner by David, both before and after the text found in verse 33. David and Abner were great friends. It's obvious. And another way in which we see that close friendship is by David's description there in verse 38. "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" So obviously then, Abner's friend David thought very highly of him. He seems to have been a man of great respect where David himself was concerned. And I could go into a long historical narrative concerning him, but suffice to say, he had been the commander of Saul's army. It was during that time that he killed the brother of Joab. Eventually, Abner switched sides, 2 Samuel chapter 3, in fact, records that. We're told that he said that he believed, because he believed David to have been appointed by the Lord to reign over Israel. I don't want to get into his truthfulness in that, because that's a sermon in itself. But as far as David was concerned, he was his friend. He was his friend, and he was, to his thinking anyhow, a prince and a great man. But that's not the only description that his friend gave of Abner. Because we have those words of our text, died Abner as a fool dieth. You see, my friend, for all the things that he thought of him, for all the respect that David had for the man Abner, he nevertheless considered him as a fool when it came to how he passed into God's eternity. The description that his friend gave him is most telling, you see. Now the word fool appears some 18 times in the Old Testament. And it means a stupid, a silly, a worthless person. So yes, during his lifetime he might well have been a prince. He might well have been a great man. But my friend, he went out into God's eternity as a fool. And does that not prove the old saying yet again that it doesn't matter how you start the race that counts, but how you end the race? Does it not tell us that we could be great people, even people that hold the highest position in the land of authority in life as Abner did, and yet we could still go out into eternity as a fool? Oh, that's most important. My sister-in-law has a restaurant in Northern Ireland, and she has a sign up in that restaurant. And it's true at what it says. It says, it's not where you have been that counts, but where you are going. And it's true because there are so many people today and they take pride in their lives. They're so upright. They do the best they can. They go to church. They don't cause any bother. They pay their taxes. They follow the law. They don't do anybody any harm. They might even well be great in the eyes of the world and in their friends. But yet it is most possible, it can happen all too easily, that they will die like Abner as a fool dieth. Oh, I cannot stress that point enough. For these were the words. This was the description of a friend here. It's not the slander of some enemy of Abner. It was his friend that said this. David had no agenda of maligning Abner. David was here. He was completely truthful because this was a true description of Abner. He died like the fool. And the fact of the matter here is this, that if you go out into God's eternity unsaved and unprepared, unsaved and unconverted, without Christ as your Redeemer, you too will die as a fool, saith. Die. Ah, preacher, how can you say that? How can you be so sure about that? Well, it's very simple. Let's see here how Abner dieth. To show how I can apply this to you, because not only do we have a friend's description in this text, but we also obviously have a fool's death. You see, Joab was annoyed that he had missed Abner when Abner was at Hebron, so he sent messengers after him, according to verse 26. And then we have verse 27, where it says, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly." The word in your margin can also mean peaceably. "And smote him there under the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother." That verse shows us that the death of a fool. Why? Because it was a needless death. Abner must have known that Joab, the brother of the man that he had killed previously, was not going to let that matter drop. He was not going to let the matter pass. He must have known that when he returned to Hebron and saw Joab waiting there, that things were not going to go well. No doubt Joab sent the messengers in David's name. That's maybe why verse 26 says that David knew it not. But when Abner returned to Hebron, he foolishly turned aside with Joab in the gate, no doubt believing the signs of his friendship, all the while as Joab was getting the knife out. Oh, listen to me this evening. This was a needless death. It was a foolish death for a couple of reasons. It was a foolish death because, well, first of all, he trusted in the wrong person. You see, Abner talk with the brother of the man instead of being wary of him. You know, if before we get on our high horse looking down on them for that, how often people, even unsaved people, listen to the wrong people. They trust in the wrong things. How often do people listen to their friends saying, oh listen, you don't want to get saved. Your life's going to be over. You don't have anything to do with the church. That'll be the end of your life. You're not going to be able to do this, that, and the other thing. You're not going to be able to go here, there, and yonder. You'll have no fun. You'll end up like some weirdo or something of such. My friend, in listening to that nonsense, and not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're just like Abner. You're listening to the wrong people. You're trusting in the wrong things. And all the while you do not see how the avenger, the old devil, has the knife out ready to make mincemeat out of you. He will wreck, he will ruin your life, offering all sorts of enjoyment in the world, all sorts of enjoyment in sin, promising you, oh, it's a great thing. You're having a great time. But all the while you're damning your soul into a deeper hell. All the while, you're in danger, if you aren't rescued, of dying as a fool dieth. But it's not only that, you see. He wasn't foolish only because he trusted in the wrong person. But look at it again. It was foolish because of where all of this took place. You see, when we read there, when Abner, verse 27, was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. As I said to you before in the introduction, Hebron was one of the six cities of refuge. Once inside the protection of that city, Abner would have been safe. But look where that wicked act took place. It was in the gate. How foolish of Abner not to see this. How better off he would have been if he had just taken a few more steps. And then he was inside the city wall. But that didn't happen. And as a result, Abner died as a fool dieth. You know, there's a stark warning there to those maybe in this meeting who are without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, these cities of refuge are a type, they're a picture, they're an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saved the accused from certain ruin if the avenger caught up with them. And so does the Lord. Men and women without Christ, please understand that there is a similar avenger after each and every man and woman and young person alive. He's known as the devil. He's seeking to take men and women and young people to hell with him for all eternity. And just like the avenger of blood in those old times, the devil wants to slay his victims. He does not want you to possess eternal life. Rather, he wants you in a lost eternity. But just like the accused in those days, we too have a place of refuge to flee to. We too have a place of refuge to remain in. You see, we have a person whom we can go to for protection and safety. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, my friend. You see, once you get saved, once you, as the Bible says, are in Christ, then no harm can befall you. You'll be safe from the wicked one who wants to ruin your life and your future. I've quoted the verses already whilst I've been here. But let me quote them again in John chapter 10. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see it this evening? Do you see how when a person puts their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they then are in the hand of God from that point onward for all eternity. They're saved for all eternity. In other words, isn't that why the hymn writer said, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, thereby his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Oh, I want to tell you this evening, there's no doubt that if Abner had paid attention, if he had opened his eyes to see the trap that Joab had laid for him, he would not have met his death on that occasion. But listen, what about you? What about you, my friend? What can you say about this? Can you see that the predicament that you're in without Christ in your heart is even more perilous? Can you not see that you're infinitely more foolish for remaining in your sin, the sin that you came into this world with? Can you see that if you were to deny tonight, as you are now, and we went along to your funeral, we attended your funeral service, that those awful words could and would be said of you, died so and so as a fool dieth? I do believe there would be amazement. There would be shock. There would be disbelief. Being brought up in a Christian home, going along to church every Lord's Day, heard the Word of God many, many times over, heard the appeals of the Lord many times over, ye must be born again, you have to trust in the Lord or you'll be lost forever. Many, many verses you've heard, maybe you could quote the verses even now as I'm speaking. But yet, died so and so as a fool dieth. No wonder there would be shock, there would be amazement. For someone has sat under the preaching of God's word time after time after time after time, and still they never took Christ as their Savior. Time after time hearing the words of eternal life and never took Christ themselves. Time after time after time choosing to go out through the door of the meeting and just going on with their life, giving no thought to the things of God. Time after time after time being prayed for by their parents or their friends or their associates. Time after time not even listening to the invitation when the preacher gives it. No wonder there would be amazement. No wonder there would be shock. Because died so and so as a fool dieth. You see, we see this lastly in the account as well, because not only is there a friend's description here, not only is there the fool's death, but notice the folly disbelieved. I want you to hear the words of our text again. They read there, died Abner as a fool dieth? Is there not an attitude there in the question of David of disbelief? Does it not seem, as we read the words, that David couldn't take it in that one so mighty, one so worthy of respect in his eyes, one that has left a legacy of great service in his kingdom and so forth, one like this, a man, a mighty man, a good soldier even, one like him had been done to death in such a foolish and awful manner? You see, Abner was at one time the commander-in-chief of the forces of Saul, David's enemy. So he knew about battle, he knew how to fight, he knew what the tactics were and everything else. It's also clear after his switch over to David's side, he was going to be great in those armies as well. It would have been honorable for him to die in some great battle, leading a lot of troops into battle or so forth. But to be taken out by one man and killed so dishonorably, all within a few footsteps of a safe haven and a refuge, was nigh on unbelievable. It was so foolish. David couldn't bring himself to think about it. What a picture of the believer we have in this, and the Christian worker. The desire of those who know the Lord and the desire of those in the service of Christ is that people would get converted. It's our overriding desire that people would realize what a wonderful Savior we have, and therefore that they would flee from the wrath of to come. And it comes as a great surprise in many respects. After preaching a sermon and striving with the people and and exhorting the people to get right with God, that sinners don't come to Christ. It's amazing, this many preachers in that regard. And it's a very sad thing to see sinners going out through the door and not taking a bit of notice, it would seem. I have come away from many meetings saying, and oftentimes, how come no one was saved? How on earth was no one saved at that meeting? How on earth could anyone without Christ sit through a meeting like that? Of course, we know the truth is that salvation is of the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. But still the surprise and disbelief is still there. It's a most surprising thing, you see, that men and women without Christ would want to remain in danger of dying as a fool dieth, instead of having the matter of their soul's eternity sorted out forever. It's most surprising that when people know that they have a great problem of sin that needs to be dealt with, when they know that there's only one way to have that sin dealt with, and the weight of the guilt of that sin sorted out, when they know that there's a limited time, a day of opportunity, when they know that time is short, and the night is coming when the Lord himself said, no man can work, when they know that life is so short, and they're not guaranteed the next 5 minutes even, but they still remain as they are. That they carry on as before. That they continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious and perfect work that he has done for them. Man, that is just surprising indeed. I can hardly believe it myself. And my friend, if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, I plead with you to get right with God. I implore you, I beseech you, I beg you, do not die as a fool dieth. And here you are, you're in this meeting. You're in a meeting like this. There's the place of safety is nearby. Yes, he's only a prayer away. There's no need then for you to clean up your life. There's no need for you to turn over a new leaf. You must come to the Lord Jesus as you are and let him take care of the rest. Why not get into the refuge? Why not trust Christ? Why not have that vital matter settled for all eternity? If you do nothing, you will die like Abner. If you refuse to take the Lord Jesus as your own and your personal Savior, then I have to warn you, hell, the lost sinner's hell, will be far worse than you can ever imagine. I must warn you that part of that everlasting torment that you're going to have to endure will include that knowledge of every single time that you had an opportunity to be saved, every single time that you had an opportunity to get right with God and you didn't take it. Every single meeting, every single gospel tract, every single Bible verse that you have ever read will come back to your remembrance forever and ever and ever and ever. All the while you'll be weeping, as the Bible makes clear. You'll be wailing. You'll have your teeth gnashing in frustration and anger, wishing that you had gotten right with God. You'll be saying, no doubt, I wish I hadn't been so foolish. And all the while the demons in hell will be laughing at you and ridiculing you, calling you a fool. Oh, look at this situation with Abner here in the scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 3. I want to tell you this evening, you do not have to die that way. You can quit being a fool for the devil. You can come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. That's our desire. In the meetings week by week, we want people to meet the wonderful Savior that we've met. We would want people to be saved from sin and hell. Will you not come? You see, there's not one person that I've ever heard. I've been saved since the age of 10. I've heard many, many testimonies. I have never, ever heard, not once, ever heard one person saying, I wish I'd never been saved. I wish I'd never taken Christ as my Savior. I've never heard anybody saying, people were right, it was the end of my life as I know it. People were right, I'm sorry I'm not able to go to this place or that place. I'm sorry I never was able to do this, that or the other thing. I have never ever heard that. But I have heard many, many times over, I wish I'd been saved before that. I wish I'd gotten saved earlier. I wish I'd given my whole life to the Lord. I wish I hadn't done this, that, and the other thing. I wish I'd been closer to the Lord. Oh, friend, you don't need to die this evening or in the process of time as a fool like Abner died. You can be saved. You can come and get right with the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will save you. I trust that you will come. I wish and I trust that you'll give up those paltry things of the world, the paltry things of the flesh and the devil, and get right with God and be saved for all eternity. There's no life like it. There's absolutely no life like going on with the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust it'll be the case even with you tonight. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His great name.